From NPR Music, this is a special podcast edition of All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. This summer, I got to play with an early version of Bjork's new iPad and iPhone app, the one she did for her record Biophilia. It really is a visionary interpretation of the new music she's made. And I went to New York to talk to Bjork about the app and recorded the following interview. The app for Biophilia is a major collaboration with folks steeped in technology and code, but also artists.
Yeah, I've been joking that I'm like the Kofi Annan in this project. So it's sort of taking a lot of elements that usually don't work together. And
so you're the diplomat is what you mean by the Kofi Annan.
Yeah, like making peace between, I'm building bridges, I think. So the last project on Volta, I felt, you know, quite macho, and it was sort of standing up and pointing your finger and criticizing and moaning and saying this is how it could, things could be better, you know, and like declare independence.
Yes.
And then I think after pointing my finger for a couple of years, like I was just, that side of me was exhausted. So I came home after the tour and I was like, okay, you know, now since I've been moaning so much, it's my turn now to find solutions, you know. For me, this project's very much sort of about solving things, you know, solving riddles. I guess you could say that it's sort of about finding a new angle, how the electronic and the acoustic could work together, how nature and techno could work together. Because I was off all my record deals, it kind of became how trying to find a fresh point where the listener and the music maker can exchange music, you know, and kind of try to take off the table all the old stuff that didn't work anymore.
What do you mean by that?
There's always been sort of a handicap making electronic music, you know, that it couldn't be tactile enough. And the fact that you had the touchscreen suddenly meant you could just not have to go through like five different equipment and
you're talking about as a songwriter, not as a consumer, not because we'll get to that part, like what it means to
songwriter.
Be to take in what you've done, but you're talking about putting it
as
putting
a songwriter
together.
And also as somebody who like to play music live on stage, you know, that, you know, you sort of have this kind of grid that's not very flexible. You start a song and it's like, you know, it's that in particular speed and that's it.
Keep going, but I'm gonna load up Sound Drop and we're gonna, because this is sort of what I think you're talking about.
Yeah, that's one of the first apps I saw after I've sort of written all the songs for 2 years, and each song had like a natural theme and a very focused way how I wanted to them to be interactive. And we'd already written all the music programs for each song.
And the we is who? Who is it?
Me and the programmer, an engineer I work with, Damien Taylor.
Okay.
So I guess I was kind of saying this is how we should do it, and Damien was kind of writing the programs.
What kind of instructions would you give? Because I find that the interaction between musician and the person who is designing, they're sort of like luthiers, you know, they're sort of like they're instrument makers. And so what is it that you as a player, and I put little finger quotes around that, but as a player, what did you want from him?
Well, we had already been working together for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously collaborators, if you are and have chemistry with a collaborator, obviously, it works better, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think at that point, he kind of knew where my head was, you know, very well. And we had used touchscreens on Volta Tour, but just as to perform with. We'd use the Lemmeer and the Reactable.
For people who don't know, they're sort of controllers that when you take your fingers and move across it, or maybe it's a set of lights, it's a set of patterns that help make the music. You manipulate the sound with some sort of a surface as opposed to a keyboard.
Yeah, it has like a touchscreen, I guess. I mean, I already started talking about it on the tour that I would really like to use touchscreen not just to perform with, but to write with. And then I felt for the first time I've seen a tool where I could actually project how I feel musical structures are. And that sort of tapped into my own music school where I felt that I was taught musicology in a too bookish way, you know, and I wanted to be more tactile and that you could sort of turn the triangle, swirl it in circles and experience scales and sound and noise in a sort of 3D space, mm-hmm. you know, more. So that's sort of our beginning point. The first thing I thought would be a good entry point was to make pendulum bass lines. So I gathered together a collection of some of my favorite songs. Some of them are Japanese folk songs. Some are like classical, easy listening songs. Some are like from all different genres that I feel they all have kind of pendulum bass lines. They're sort of bass lines. They're dung, 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 dung. Dung, 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 dung,
dung. So it's swinging dung, back and forth. Dung.
Yeah, but that's a bass line from a piece by John Tavener. But there, you'd be surprised how many like folk songs and all sort of music has these kind of bass lines. That, and also they're sort of regular, but they're sort of irregular too. I just feel there's a reason for them. And I wanted to connect electronic music to different grid, you know, not to 4/4 grid, but to a more organic grid. I felt technology with touch grids had finally reached a point where you can make the beat in your song is more organic, you know. Mm-hmm. So we started with pendulum bass lines and basically made a shape on the touchscreen. There was a pendulum swinging, and I could I basically was singing, pushing this pendulum, and basically it was run by gravity. And then when after we'd done that, that sort of grew, and then we added like speed changing device to it and wrote a song about DNA. Then that moved, wrote a song about crystals, thinking about more about structures. So that it was a quite an organic thing that just sort of grew, you know. There was a lot of talking. A lot of the time of this project, him, me, and my assistant James, we were in a house for a year in Puerto Rico. So we were basically waking up together, programming together, making music together, getting drunk together, swimming in the ocean. So it was very, very good way to become totally immersed in the project. Then we were making pendulums out of buckets and string and rope, and we ordered pipe organ pipes, really cheap ones from eBay. And we're plugging the touchscreens to that. Made basically what we were playing was coming out of those pipes.
So you're making musical instruments.
Like the sort of DIY.
Right, right.
Like cheap versions, you know. So it became very much about not only mirroring, using the touchscreen to finally visualize how I see music. You know, when I close my eyes, finally you could actually make it real, and you could also put your fingers and touch it, which for me is like touching your dream or something. But also, I've lost my thread there. I've talked so much today. That's weeks, actually.
So we're loading up what basically is the app that that people can buy as part of their iPad, as one of the applications you can buy. And basically we see what looks like stars and clusters of stars, at least to my eyes, maybe they're... And as you touch on the screen, it's actually each... There are songs associated with some of the stars. And let's do Crystalline. You want to touch and see what...
Right, yeah.
Now, let me just make sure I have the volume up as high as I can.
Yeah, so... So each app has not only the app, but also a score, like a classical score, and animated visualization of the song. So I'm trying to bridge also, that's another bridge there, between MIDI information and classical notation. And then obviously there's lyrics. So if you go play, I just press play. You basically start going through the song, which is a tunnel. So this song is...
There are shapes flying through space here, and three-dimensional squares that are red, and I don't know, is that a... I don't know how many side shape that is, but...
Yeah, and the notation of the song is actually blinking here. You can see it. That's the,
right.
The chords being played. So basically each app has a theme, a musicology theme, and this particular app is about structure.
Okay.
So basically you go through the first crystal, and now the app just went through the second crystal. So at every after each section, you get to pick what section happens next in the song. So you can navigate like here. So now the chorus was supposed to happen, but it didn't. I didn't make it happen.
So you're so even though it sounds to us like this song has a structure that has a beginning and a middle and an end, or a chorus and verse or whatever, you or any or the person who is playing with the application is actually changing the structure of the song. So you've just changed the structure of the song just by tapping around on the screen.
Yeah. So and above it there are crystals swirling, bundle of crystals. And that's basically the path you've chosen.
Okay.
And then afterwards you can email that to your friends and they can play the version you did of the song.
That's brilliant.
And then these crystals that are here in the corners,
yes.
That's like more of a gaming aspect of the song. Like you can get points. So basically I wanted the verses to be narrow and claustrophobic tunnels, but the chorus is a wide open space. So I wanted also that it was not just about the chronology of the song, that mm-hmm. you could change that, but also to sense that usually in most pop songs, verses are pretty narrow.
Yes.
You know, they feel like you tunnel and you're trying to solve some sort of riddle.
And
if you have earned it, you get to the point. You know, the little bridge, actually called bridge, gets you to the other space, which is sort of more of a open space.
And there's something else that goes on too, right? When you tilt, if I pick this up and tilt it,
yeah,
it completely changes the visuals on the screen, but I'm exactly certain.
Yeah, you can use the tilting thing on the...
So there's a little gyroscope in the iPad that basically allows it to change the structure of what I'm seeing. The crystals are flying through space. And how is it changing the song?
I think it's to help you for the gaming element, that you can reach to those. I think you sort of collect them. I guess I'm not much of a gaming person. Oh, here's the chorus. So this is the chorus.
I see. So by tilting it, I'm sort of going through space.
Yeah. And you can see the chorus is square because it's in 4-4 beat.
Okay.
So that just got added to your bundle. So this is the open white space. And now the chorus is finished. So you've just chose another chorus. You're a chorus kind of guy.
How did you come to that? Can you even trace how much of it was conceived in, I'm holding my head now, how much was conceived in your head, how much was conceived in conversation and collaboration, and you get there? Do you know?
I mean, it's an interesting project because in the beginning, my intention was to simplify things through the touchscreen. I wanted to write it, to be able to write it on a touchscreen, but I didn't know what the platform would be. So in the beginning, I thought the platform would make a music house in Iceland, a music museum for children. So each song was a room. So you go to one room, you get to play with the lightning, you write a song, you go to another room, there's crystals there, and so on. That didn't happen. And then because I was off all record deals, I started talking to other people, and then we decided that maybe this project is a 3D movie. You know, and that seems really a big jump, but actually for me, going from each song being a room to being a scene in a movie isn't that much of a jump, you know. And then after 2 years of writing like this, and we already had decided on each song has that emotion, has that natural element attached to it, has that interactivity, like in this song, for example, you play with a bass line. Next song, you're dealing with the structures. Next song, you're dealing, change the arrangement is a virus that's growing. So we had made all these choices already. And then the iPad came out.
And when you saw it, what did you...
It immediately leaped to you.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I knew that at some point a touchscreen would come out. But when I started programming this project 2008, I had no idea that it would be something that everybody could buy and have at their home. In 2008, that was not what you were imagining, right? And so basically, it's a long way to answer your question. But basically, we knew the broad strokes. We'd already written the music, and we had, like, for example, a song which is about moon, which where you have the full moon, and it's pulling the tide up and down, and that is the sequencer, like a traditional, what's a sequencer in a music, electronic music, is being pulled up and down depending on how much water there is, you know, in the, you know, going around. That's kind of, how can I put this? Sometimes hard to, because it's really simple when you see it. It's really hard to put into words. It's hard to put into words. I'd sort of decided on the interactivity, but then when we sat down with the app builders and started brainstorming, they were obviously out their own. And a lot came, like it took a whole year to make all the apps. And that we met a few times. I mean, sometimes there were hundreds of emails every day, you know. There was a lot of, like every little single little thing we talked about, you know. And it wasn't so much like that I was like some sort of a director or something.
I'd imagine you were learning the possibilities and what you could do. And
yeah, it felt very democratic. It felt very collaborative. And a lot of the app builders were very generous because they were advising each other on the apps, you know. So they were sort of, they're supposed to be competitors, you know. Apparently they're not supposed to do that. And sometimes solving riddles for each other. I think also for me, obviously this app world is very fancy, and I had no doubt whatsoever that these being the best app builders in the world, they would make amazing apps. But for me, it was very important to keep the connection with the song. That it wasn't so much about making it as complicated as possible, that I wanted to keep that it was about the root of the song, the root of the structure, and then the interactivity. Truly, you felt truly you were playing with the song and you were inside the song, because I felt a lot of apps.
So wouldn't get too carried away.
Yeah, sometimes I feel apps. I don't want to be critical here, but sometimes I feel apps that have something to do with music are more dealing with music on a superficial level, like the surface of things, instead of going to the core of the song. And because we'd already written algorithms for how core of the songs were written anyway, we had this kind of programming that we need to kind of attach to the visual apps and make it so the person that buys the app and has their iPad in their house, whatever they are playing with their fingers is actually the core of the structure of the song.
It used to be that the thing, like you would write, someone would write a song, their words would go out, and those words would be interpreted in any way that the listener could interpret them. And, you know, so you let go, they're your children, you let your songs go. And here, the song is being changed and manipulated. Not just in interpretation, not just what goes through your head and understanding the words and the way every listener understands something different, but also every time you touch it, it's different. Every time you play with the song, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
I just played, I liked the chorus, I guess. I played three choruses in a row. As a person who writes the tune, you must not mind that. You must not mind that it changes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel already I'm making so many decisions where I'm not flexible. Like, for example, that certain song is called Crystalline. It's about crystals. These are what it looks like inside this song, you know. So there are, I think, like with everyone, there are certain things where I'm very flexible and I'm up for, you know, adventure and surprises. But then there are other things where I'm not flexible at all.
Okay.
And I think, for example, with Crystalline, you can change the structure of the song, but you cannot change the instrumentation. Or
the pulse stayed the same.
For example, another song, you can change the speed, but you cannot change the structure. You know, another song, you can change the bass line, but you can't change, like the song with the lightning, where the lightning is like an arpeggio bass line. You cannot actually change the song, but you are like this crazy lightning bass player, you know. So I try to do the interactivity because I always thought of this project as, introduction to musicology for children, that each song would have a different theme, you know. So it wouldn't be 10 songs with 10 same interactivity, but each song would have a different type of interactivity. See what I mean.
Yeah. In some ways, this takes making music to such a very different level. It just isn't this one thing that you listen to in one way. And you must like that. I mean, this must be, would you, if you were a consumer, if you were just, you had one of these and somebody put out a record, is that what you want?
I mean, for me, I mean, I like music just with no visuals. Uh-huh. And I'm really made sure of this album, it stands on its own. I try to do that at least, you know. I mean, I think if you are gonna have accessories to your music, the most important thing is that they are true to the songs, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, it's the same with like music videos, for example.
Right.
You can have the most expensive fancy music video in the universe, but if it doesn't communicate with the song, it's you've lost, you know. So I found in the touchscreen a way to visualize how I see a song when I close my eyes. And I think if my favorite artists would do it in an idiosyncratic way, that it sort of is how they feel about their songs, you know, and then there are certain ways in the song they don't want to change, and other sides of the song they think it would be cool to faff about with. Mm-hmm. I think that's fantastic.
Since this was the first time coming to anything like this, did you walk away with something? Did you learn something, either about the mix of technology, that relationship, or translating things that are in your head to something visual? Did you walk away learning something?
Yeah, for sure. I guess just finding faith that there is a way to express yourself, you know. And I think sometimes people are not going to believe this, but I'm actually quite technophobic. And I've had a laptop since I was 1999. Mm-hmm. But I still work with an engineer, you know.
So hold your hand.
Because I can't go from one page to the next page, you know. I can work on that particular editing page for a billion hours. But so for me, the fact that this kind of monster called industrial age, and that later became technology age, the fact that it is actually 21st century, we are going to unite those things, like intuition and impulse and things that you usually connect with more. I think it's called right brain.
Yes.
Hemisphere. I mean, yeah. Some people believe in that, some don't. But you know, basically the two hemispheres have been united, you know, that you can use the tool of Western civilization and be impulsive and intuitive and emotional. And that for me creates a lot of hope. There's this avalanche of internet, emails, Twitter, texting, you name it. And it's sometimes hard to find idiosyncratic and individual way of expressing yourself in that avalanche. And I feel just by sort of personally, and this is just between me and my own personal tool, by fighting against the current and sort of creating a little cliff, you know, where I can actually put my little lighthouse and kind of move in and feel at home. That sort of gives me hope that, you know, at the end of the day, humans, they made all these man-made things, and they were a bit clumsy for the industrial age, made these huge, vulgar, aggressive things that destroyed nature. But that was eventually to get to this point where you can communicate this kind of more, you know, I don't know what to call them, feminine things or you know, that's kind of dangerous, actually. But you know what I mean, like more impulsive and intuitive side.
Comes back to what you said at the beginning, which is just that coming, instead of being didactic and pointing fingers, there's a comfort here, there's a more peaceful...
Yeah, to find solutions.
Right.
I guess to get to that point, you have to first complain.
Yeah.
And then admit that there is a problem there. And then once you sort of got the problem, then just you can stand up and try to sort of work on it. But I mean, I make it now sound really simple. Obviously, it isn't that simple.
That's,
you know, a lot of moments in this project where I didn't think it was even gonna get done, because it was a lot of things that were telling us that this was not possible.
Do you have advice for someone who's going to tackle a monster like this, having been down the road?
You know, now they can make that idiosyncratic project they always wanted to do, but they never could do because CDs couldn't handle it. So this is the time for that, you know?
That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks for spending time.
Yeah, thank
you. Appreciate it.